matched up in a lot of man coverage all day.
Looking that direction, here comes pressure again. Two Browns ran into each other. Daniels uncorks a deep shot. It's McLaurin inside the five.
You know, they didn't score on that drive. In fact, Jaden threw an interception a few plays later. But that play right there, and there were eight or nine others, but that play right there, pressure, avoids it, gets outside, off schedule, eyes still down the field, throws a perfect ball in the air for 66 yards to Terry McLaurin. That's elite-level quarterbacking, people. I think you get that. There are only a few others in the league that do that on a regular basis, and he's now doing it on a regular basis. He is playing at an elite level, and the elite level of the quarterback that's able to be creative, not the quarterback that's elite level, always in the pocket. This is, dare I say it, Denton, this is Mahomes level. This is Josh Allen level. This is Lamar Jackson level quarterbacking that we are watching through five games. Will it continue? We'll see. They will get their biggest test of the season in one of the season's early marquee league-wide matchups. The kind of game that, quite honestly, they haven't played in years. This coming Sunday against Baltimore at M&T Bank Stadium. Good morning, everybody. That was a one-sided beatdown. By the way, to be fair, against a bad football team offensively. Cleveland is the worst offensive football team in the league. They were that coming in. They were ranked 32nd offensively in the DVOA measure. They looked even worse than that yesterday. They have the worst quarterback situation in the league right now. There is no chance Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, is getting a say in who his starting quarterback is. That is ownership driven, and it basically is driven that way because they still owe him, I think, $175 million. This guy is so checked out as a starting quarterback, and I'm sure there's so much baggage weighing him down. He used to be a really good quarterback. He's the worst in the NFL, and their offense is atrocious. With that said, man, these are the kinds of games in years past that the franchise, when they had an opportunity to play a lesser team, basically soiled themselves. No, that's not happening. Not with number five at quarterback. Not with this coaching staff handling the leadership of the football product on the field. 34-13, they took their foot completely off the pedal in the fourth quarter. This game was over at 17-3. They're 4-1 for the first time since 2008. 16 years it's been since they were 4-1. When we've talked about this franchise, and let me just say this before I get to a little bit of kind of historical perspective here. This is a very good football team right now. I don't know if it's a complete football team. We're going to find out more about that on Sunday in Baltimore. And we'll have the rest of the week to talk about the Baltimore game, which again is going to be high profile. We're going to focus on what happened yesterday primarily on the show today. But this is a very good football team right now because it is so, so versatile offensively. They can run the football. They can throw the football. They can throw the football short and quick. They can throw the football deep and long. They can throw the football over the middle. They can throw it on time. They can throw it off schedule. They are creative offensively in many different ways, and it's kind of a mismatch when you combine Kingsbury and Daniels right now, anyway, based on their opponents. And it is fun to watch. And when you have elite quarterback play, which this franchise has not had, really, elite level quarterback play. Not even Cousins was elite level. Even though he was high level, he wasn't elite level. When you have elite level quarterbacking, which Washington has not had, probably since Joe Theismann was the starting quarterback in the early to mid-80s before breaking his leg on national television on a Monday night against the Giants. When you have that, you got a chance against anybody with the way the game is played today. This is a very good football team right now because of that. Is it a complete team? As I said, we're going to find out more. I don't think it's complete yet based on what I've seen, but yesterday was a good day for the defense against, you know, the worst offensive football team in the league by a lot. But I know what a lot of you guys are doing. It's like, wait a minute, they beat Arizona last week 42-14. Arizona went and beat the 49ers yesterday 24-23. They beat the Giants a few weeks ago. The Giants just went on the road and beat Seattle. They beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati should have beaten the Ravens yesterday. Yeah, a lot of that tends to be a little bit overrated in terms of connecting of the dots, in part because matchups mean everything, the timing of when you play somebody and what that team looks like in the moment. And those things can be a little bit overrated. You know, as an example, yesterday, yes, the Cardinals last week, inept offensively against Washington, in part, you know why? Because for some reason, the quarterback decided not to run. Some of that was Washington's doing. It was. Yesterday, Kyler Murray decided to run, and he rushed for 83 yards and a touchdown in the game. You know, that matters for that team. That team has to have their little quarterback run around and end up having a lot of yards rushing. And when they do that, they've actually got a shot. San Francisco also a very injured football team, as we've known. But still, that was another one of those, you know, big underdog outright winners, which has become the norm in the NFL. It's going to be interesting to see the first time Washington's a big underdog. That was said incorrectly. I'm used to saying that. The next time Washington is a big favorite. They haven't been a big favorite, it seems like, in a long time. Well, they play the Panthers a week from Sunday, this coming Sunday, at home. That could be the first time Washington ends up being one of those teams that's more than a 5.5-point favorite. Do you know that 5.5-point or larger underdogs are now 19-4-1 against the number? But look, the big takeaway for me, and I'm going to get to my game take coming up in the next segment. We'll go through what I liked, what I didn't like, other observations from the win as well. My big takeaway is we're watching a 4-1 football team, and sometimes 4-1 can be a little bit misleading one way or the other. Maybe sometimes it's like they actually should be 5-0. They're actually playing, you know, poorly, but they're 4-1. No, this is a very good football team right now. And they're a very good football team because offensively, they are incredibly dynamic, they're very explosive, and they've got a dude that when he comes into the locker room on game day, everybody looks around and says, he's here, we can of course win the game today. Been a long time since you could say that. The start to the season continues to be historic. The completion percentage is going to come down a little bit more on that coming up. Not all his fault. Had a couple of drops in the game from some of his more reliable receivers. But another outstanding performance with, by the way, a couple of moments that weren't great, which we'll go through. But you know what? Starting elite quarterbacks sometimes make throws that are, you know, not necessarily the best decisions. Don't turn out super well. Sometimes you miss things. But the story of the game for me yesterday was coming to the conclusion that no matter how bad Cleveland is on offense, Washington took care of business and they destroyed this team. I mean, they basically took whatever, you know, energy level that team may have come into, you know, Northwest Field, that's the name of the stadium now, and just essentially took it away from their offense. And the defense for Cleveland, which is good and is well coached, knew that they basically had to pitch a shutout to win the game. And you're never going to do that. Not anymore. Not against this team and this offense and this quarterback. They're a good football team right now. They're a good football team. And yeah, things change and the NFL's a week-to-week league and you get, you know, a couple of injuries, key injuries here and there, of course that could, you know, factor into them not being a good football team, you know. But if they stay healthy at the most important spot, quarterback, and a couple of the other spots, this is going to be a team that wins more games than it loses this year, and maybe several more wins than losses this year. But, man, do we have one to get pumped up for this coming week. This is one of the games of the season in the NFL in Week 6. When's the last time they were involved in an early heavyweight near game of the year to this point in the NFL season? There will be mentions and whispers if you haven't heard them already. To hell with the whispers. This will be said outright. You guys will hear this at least 2 to 3 times this week. Is this a preview of the Super Bowl? I'm not saying that I believe it's going to be a preview of the Super Bowl, Denton. I'm just saying you're going to hear and read, is this a preview of the Super Bowl coming up? Do you disagree with me? People are going to say that.
I think you're 100% right. I bet you will see that at some point on one of the talking head shows nationally today, if it hasn't been said already.
If it hasn't been said already. Yeah. 5-1. Last time they were 5-1 was 1996. All right, the last season at RFK Stadium. Gus Frerotte was the starting quarterback. Had Gus on the show last week. Love Gus. Talked about that season and how they played that final game at RFK, which was memorable to everybody that played in it. But it was very disappointing because they had started 7-1. That year, and looked to be an easy playoff team at 7-1, and they weren't. They finished 9-7. And so things can go south. Now, all due respect to Gus Frerotte, who was a nice starting quarterback there for a few years, he ain't Jaden Daniels. I mean, this guy is different. Different. If you're waiting for me, by the way, when we get to the game take, just say, yeah, but Kevin, he had that red zone interception. Yeah, but Kevin, he took a sack. Yeah, but Kevin, he missed on that from their own goal line. Missed Ertz wide open on that third and, you know, back up against the goal line situation from the end zone. Yeah, there are a couple of plays. We'll nitpick some of those. But, no, they were awesome. And, look, one of the most I think, and I'll share some of the details from this when we get into the game take, but when you have 7 plays in a football game of 23 yards or longer, those are defined as explosive plays. Basically, anything 20 plus is defined as an explosive play. When you have 7 of those in a game, you know, you don't have to be perfect offensively. You don't even have to be that consistent offensively. You have 7 of those kinds of plays in a game on offense, you're going to score a lot of points. You know, now, I guess they all could come on 3 drives and you could get bogged down in the red zone and kick 3 field goals. But more times than not, when you have explosive potential on offense and you have that number of explosive plays in a game, you don't even have to be that consistent, because you're going to score a bunch. It's a good football team right now, boys and girls. It's a really good football team right now. Defensively, it was a great day, albeit, again, against a terrible, terrible offensive football team. One of the worst we've seen in recent memory at quarterback in particular. That dude has zero interest right now. Zero. Zero interest in playing, zero interest in being urgent about anything. It's an embarrassment, and I said this before, but there is no chance a quality coach, offensive coach like Kevin Stefanski is getting a say in who his starting quarterback is. There is zero chance that that's, well, There's a small chance that that is true. Cleveland's ownership is a dumpster fire. They made that trade with a guy with all of those issues, with all of those that personal baggage. I get it. I loved Deshaun Watson at Houston. Deshaun Watson at Houston for a couple of years there, as he was starting to enter what should have been the prime years of his career, was a top 10 quarterback, easy, in the league. And then all of the personal unraveling of his life, to his own doing, of course. I don't have sympathy for him. You know, I have sympathy for the people whose lives he impacted and affected. But he's not the same person at all. He's certainly not the same quarterback. But still, another kind of confidence-building performance. Look, Washington may not be great defensively. We'll find out this coming Sunday. They do have a couple of very good players. The best player on defense is number four. Frankie Louvu is their best defensive player. All right, my game take coming up, what I liked, what I didn't like, and a lot more. I also am going to play for you at some point on the show. Got a chance on my podcast last night doing a quick post game right after the game ended to get Jonathan Allen from the locker room. It was quick, it was brief, but he said a couple of things that I thought were interesting. So you'll hear that this morning as well. All of the Quinn post game you will hear. We'll spend the majority of the show today talking about yesterday, as we always do on Mondays during the season. With that said, we got the biggest regular season game Washington's had in terms of the buildup and the anticipation for it in a long time. Long time. I mean, you can't compare it to that Giants Sunday night game in 2022. I mean, that's just not... You got a 4-1 football team, by the way, against a 3-2 football team. No, they've won three in a row, and they probably should not have won that game yesterday. I had Cincinnati, Denton. You know, I pushed it, you know, with the half point, but their play calling there at the end and then the bad snap on the field goal attempt, maybe nothing was worse than what McDermott did in Buffalo. What a 1 o'clock window. I found myself yesterday... I'm sure this has happened. It's not, I'd be exaggerating if I said this just never happened during the Snyder years, which is, you know, an easy default and usually is accurate. But I found myself yesterday when this game got to the fourth quarter and it was completely over at 34-6. It's like you had the Ravens Bengals game, which was close. You had Colts Jags, which was close. You had Bills Texans, which was close. All these games coming down to the wire. And in the past, when Washington was on the wrong side of a one-sided beatdown more often than not, you know, even though I had to come in here the next morning and do 3 hours on the game, I just turned it to the red zone. I turned it to the games that mattered, and I went back and watched the stupid fourth quarter when they were down by three scores after the fact. Yesterday, they're up 34-6 in the fourth quarter. Marcus Mariota's in the game, and I found myself, hey, I'm going to stick with this. This is too much fun. Now, I did have the benefit of having a second screen, because that Baltimore-Cincinnati game was sick. The Indy-Jacksonville game was crazy. The Bills-Texans game, crazy. And then in the 4 o'clock window, I mean, you had Cardinals, Niners, Packers, Rams, Giants, Seahawks all coming down to the end. And how about the drive at the end of the game? I don't know how many people were up because that game was delayed by weather. Remember back in the day when they just played in the rain in the NFL? I know there was lightning in the area, but for a while it was just rain, and they just waited for all of it to end. But I guess the risk of lightning was legit. But Dak Prescott, man, I mean, he threw some horrible balls in that game. And then with the game on the line, he recovered a fumble at the 3-yard line going in, which was incredible. And then he threw a touchdown pass to Jalen Tolbert for the game winner on fourth and goal to beat Pittsburgh 20-17. Dallas was in pretty big trouble after losing to back at home against the Saints and the Ravens. They had to kind of win these next two against the Giants and the Steelers on the road. They weren't necessarily clean or perfect in winning either one of these games, but that keeps them in the loop, in the hunt for now. They got the Lions, 49ers, Falcons, Eagles, Texans, Commanders over their next six games. I don't know. Are they the biggest competition for our team in the NFC East? Is Philly? Long way to go on the NFL season, man. And Washington's had the benefit of playing, you know, in this four-game stretch, playing, you know, teams that quite honestly, they were better coached and just better than in the moment. There may be more of those to come, though. They feasted yesterday. This is fun. 4-1 for the first time since 2008. That's a long period of time in the NFL to go without a decent start to a season. 4-1 is a good start. 3-2's okay. 4-1, 5-0, those are good starts to great starts. Washington's in the midst of it. All right, my game take when we come back. And then probably right around, I'm guessing, you know, 11 a.m., it'll be your chance to jump on and we'll get your thoughts. But big takeaway, really, more than anything else, it's 4-1. It's legit. This is a good football team right now. And it's primarily good because they appear to have nailed it at the most important position on the field. He's playing at an elite level. Elite level, not for a rookie, for anybody in the league. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the Team 980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app.